So welcome to week four of our seven-week series called Framed. Thanks for all of you being here. Thanks for those of you who are watching online, near and afar, as we tackle some tough topics that we're all inundated with in the news and in our neighborhoods and at work and everywhere we go. And today we're going to look at the wonderful topic of immigration. But I want to remind you of a truth. And that truth is really a setup for next week, but it applies to today as well, because whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you've got really strong opinions about what to do with immigration and borders and all such fun things like that. So you've heard me say often that our life in the kingdom is not about a donkey or an elephant, Republican, Democrat, right? You've heard me say that. It's about a lamb who is over that. So yes, vote, yes, be a part of the political process, but remember first and foremost that we are citizens of a different kingdom, a heavenly kingdom that will be our forever home. And along the way, you get to participate in one of those, or independent, or whatever you might be. But it is about the Lamb. And so as we look at this topic of immigration today, I was blown away at some of the statistics that I read this week about the fact that there are more immigrants living in the United States than any nation on planet Earth, which is not surprising. I mean, this is the United States of America. It's the land of freedom and opportunity. People have flocked to get here from our inception to celebrate the good life that is available to those who would live here. So that's really not a surprise. But 40 million of us in the United States were born in another country. And so we were and we continue to be an amazing melting pot, which is very diverse. And almost every nation on earth is represented in the United States, which is pretty amazing. So we need to define some terms, because immigrant, illegal immigrant, alien, refugee, undocumented, they're not all the same thing, and sometimes we use them as the same thing, and they're very different. So I want to start with like just dictionary definitions, and then we'll go to what the scripture says by definition. So out of the gate, an immigrant, as you see it on the screen, is someone, a person who migrates to another country, usually for the purpose of like permanent residency. So you live somewhere else, you move here, you want to live here, you stay here, or it could be in another country, an immigrant moving from one nation to another. Got it? Okay. Pretty clear, pretty simple, right? So these are the folks who are coming in the most. These are legal immigrants. These are not the illegal immigrants. These are legal immigration numbers from 2017. Number one is India, over Mexico, China, and Cuba to follow. And so what is an illegal immigrant? By definition, look at it. Pretty clear. Someone who enters the U.S. territory on entry or immigrant visa, especially, or without one, I should say, especially someone who crosses the border by avoiding inspection. And I think that's where a lot of our images that we see on TV daily are people jumping the fence, running through charging across the border. And that's a good visual of a technical definition of what illegal immigration looks like. But remember, 77% of immigrants in this nation are here legally. So 23%, or a high number, aren't. And so you go, oh, the majority are. Well, the small majority that aren't, it still represents a huge number of folks who are here. In fact, 1 million immigrants come to the U.S. every single year. And so this is where data and stats and numbers really speak truth into a very inflamed situation. The number of unauthorized or illegal immigrants in the U.S. has actually declined over the last decade. Now, that only goes to 2017, but you see how it's gone from 12.2 to 10.5 in that 10-year window. And so sometimes if you watch only one news source or the other, you think that it's vastly different. But it's still huge issue. It's still something we've got to address. It's something that we need to look at what the laws are and safe borders and all those things. But statistically, that number has actually been going down recently. What is a refugee, though? Because that's a completely different person. It's somebody who flees for refuge or safety, especially to a foreign country, in political unrest and war and et cetera. And there's this Like, it's we're going to die if we don't leave here. And we've got to go somewhere. And we're going to see biblically here how the scriptures are a story from the first page to the end of refugees, written about them, by them, for them, of people fleeing and looking for hope. In fact, since 1980, when the creation of the Federal Refugee Resettlement Program came into being, 3 million refugees, not immigrants, refugees have resettled in the United States more than any other country on earth. Our global outreach pastor, David Bass, who was just up here praying, he's heading out this week to a country and a church that we have a partnership with in the Mediterranean to preach and to minister in this church that has been reaching out to a lot of refugees who are coming across the border from a neighboring nation, fleeing war and violence and oppression that is unspeakable to think of. And that church in this Mediterranean country is leading a lot of them to Christ. And so to put a real face on refugee ministry, we have David heading over there. But I'll remind you of this, is that we have a lot of refugees in Charlotte. We have a lot of the nations who are here. So you know our mission as a church is to go and make disciples of those nearest, our neighbors and the nations. And we are thrilled when you go and serve and when David, like this week, and all the other teams that we've mentioned. But they're here. They're here, and we have an opportunity to invest the gospel into them as legal, illegal, and refugee, because they are, at the end of the day, imago Dei. They're people made in the image of God. So that's how many folks came in the U.S. in last year, 22,491. I want to show you numbers going to blow your mind. 68 million refugees are on the earth. That's a lot of people, because there's war and there's famine, there's dictators or evil leaders who kill their own people, and people are constantly fleeing from one nation to another. And we are a nation of immigrants as well. All of our folks came from somewhere else. Unless you're Native American and were native to the soil, all of our ancestors came as immigrants from somewhere. And so what has turned into such an uber negative is actually such a positive about our country. That's how we were formed and founded, and it's what we continue to be. But because of crime and those who are trying to do it the wrong way, it's turned into something that's so very other. So what does the scripture say about immigrants? The word that the Bible uses for immigrant is sojourner. Say that with me, sojourner. So the Hebrew for sojourner is ger. It looks like ger, but it's ger, and it means what it says. A sojourner, stranger, foreigner, exile, alien, that type of thing. A person living out of his own country. That's it, plain and simple. In the New Testament, we have a different word, but it means the same thing. The Greek there means a person who lives in a place without citizenship. So I want to walk with you through the scripture from beginning to end to show you how the Bible is really a long, wonderful story of God's grace given to refugees, kind of like Adam and Eve. They were banished from the garden because of their sin, and as they left to live in a different place, God in his grace clothed them, first shedding of blood, the foreshadowing of the blood of Christ that was needed for salvation. And as they left into this barren place as refugee and wanderer and sojourner. Moses fled and became an exile, scripture says, or ger, in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Acts 7 says, Abraham, the father of our faith, was a sojourner or a ger. Genesis 23 tells us. Joseph was a sojourner or ger in Egypt. And his brothers, remember, they sold him into slavery. Human trafficking is nothing new under the sun. It's been around forever. It's evil and it's wrong, but it's not new. And so that Joseph was a sojourner, was an immigrant, a ger. The whole nation of Israel, Genesis and Exodus tells us, they were sojourners in Egypt. They wandered and wandered after their slavery and finally got to a promised land. Naomi, in the book of Ruth, was a sojourner in Moab, having been displaced because of famine. David and all of his men were sojourners in Philistia, having fled from the violence of another evil ruler. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sojourners, gers in Babylonia. Jesus and mom and dad were sojourners in Egypt when they fled, being warned in a dream to leave and to go and to reside somewhere else before they came back. We are all sojourners. We are all on a pilgrimage in a spiritual sense. 1 Peter 2:11 says it this way, I urge you as sojourners, exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage against your soul. So Peter uses it in a spiritual sense, and when we live that out, we are symbolizing what it's like for somebody in the flesh to leave a country and move to another, and what it feels like and what it looks like. And the scripture is very clear on how we are to treat those sojourners that we encounter. Leviticus tells us to share food with a sojourner, to feed them. Leviticus also says to be generous financially when we can be with a sojourner. Exodus tells us to treat them with fairness and justice. Jeremiah tells us to not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow. And some of you already gotten mad at me because you're like, yeah, but what about those illegals who are coming across and raping our women and murdering? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I believe in law. I believe in the civil government God's given us. I have a wife and daughters. I don't want anybody raping my family and murdering and stealing and robbing. But as people of God who encounter people in the street who have an opportunity to do relationship with, who we don't know who they are, that everybody is an imago Dei. Everybody is to be treated with respect and dignity in the moment. So Deuteronomy goes on to tell us that God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the sojourner, gives him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So God is very clear about how we're to treat them, but he's also very clear that he is the God of border. He's the God of nation. He's the God that ordains those things and gives security and sovereignty. Deuteronomy 32:8 says, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the numbers of the sons of God. So God is a God of borders. Sometimes you hear people talk about, well, we don't need borders. Borders are bad. We just need to love everybody, and every border is bad. Every wall is bad. And I chuckle sometimes when I see a teenager with an anarchy symbol, you know, on his skateboard, or that's just been spray painted a wall. Because I'm like, dude, do you have any idea what anarchy means? Anarchy means that there are no laws, which means that any bad, bigger dude than you can come out and just take your skateboard from you and beat you up in the process, or kill you for that matter, because there's no law. Where there's anarchy, there's lawlessness, and it's terrifying. Nobody wants to live there. So we as a nation and every other nation have borders that are good, and they give us protection. Acts 17:26 says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So we see in Scripture very clearly that God is a God of border and nation and the establishment of people groups. But when we go into another land, we obey that land. When I've gone on different mission trips to places like Mongolia and China and India and Bangladesh and others, I obey the laws when I'm there. I try to, you know, make sure I'm not doing anything stupid to break a law, because I'm a guest in their country. And if I went there as an immigrant, I would certainly try to learn those laws if I wanted to naturalize into citizenship. And so, yeah, it's okay to have borders. But when we go across a border, we obey law. Romans 13 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God, and consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So there is a rule of law that is good and right, and thank God for those, right? And thank God for the immigrants who are coming legally, refugees who have fled. And so, you know, you feel overwhelmed. You go, well, what about all the bad guys? We know what? Let's pray. Let's allow our government and our police force to do their jobs and to find those people, to incarcerate them or to send them back if needed, because if they've committed 3 rapes and 2 murders, they don't need to be here. If they're illegals, they need to go back, right? That's fair. It's just. That's not uncompassionate. But for us, on how we deal with people one-on-one, how we judge people, it starts off with assuming the best that you know of someone else and treating people with kindness and grace. Just out of the gate. It's sad that I even have to say that. But, you know, if you're more into a donkey or an elephant, and here's a practical expression of that. If you watch 3 hours of Fox or CNN and spend 5 minutes in the Word, you're going to be more about a donkey or an elephant. Because if we're called to renew our minds with truth and we spend 5 minutes in the word of the Lord, the Lamb, and hours watching news that just gets you mad and frustrated, when you see somebody out in public that looks like that person you saw in the news, you're just going to be ticked off, right? So the first thing we can do is, let's first of all spend more time in the Word than in anything else, so that we look and see and feel the way God does when he sees people. I mean, does it do any good when you see a video of someone at a restaurant or in public where somebody just starts screaming at another person, you know, you learn to speak English, and there a fight breaks out in the diner, and all of a sudden they're that viral sensation all over the news. Does that do any good? The answer is no. What does do good is when we encounter someone to be illegal, legal, or refugee, is to let legal authorities do their job, but us, we be Jesus with skin on. We love people where they are as immigrants, to love another immigrant who really may want to be a citizen here, who really is willing to do what it takes. Second thing is to build relationships with the sojourners in your world, with the immigrants in your world. Do you know one? I'm just curious to ask. Do you know an immigrant or a refugee in Charlotte? Because like I said, they're here. But do you have a relationship with any of them? You know, this hits home for us because our son-in-law-to-be in Wedding 2 coming later this year is from Mexico. He came to Rice University in Houston to get his MBA, and he stayed and he works there. It's a great job, and we love him to death. He's a wonderful guy, loves the Lord. He's great to our daughter. He's going to make a great son-in-law. And so I see this differently than I did before, because, you know, he's talked about travel and how hard it is to get back home to see his parents now. And he's a great guy, and he's done everything right. He's in the process. He's waiting. He's filled out tons of papers. It takes years to become a citizen sometimes. And he's doing everything the right way. And what's so sad is when we let all the criminal element color all of them in the same thing. It's just not fair. Because, you know, Ellis Island back in the day was boatloads of our ancestors coming over to say, we want to be a part of this great new nation. So let's let the people who are doing it the right way have a chance, right? It's hard enough as it is out of the gate. So thirdly is remind yourself, this is another one of my dorky words that I made up this week, is of the imago creation. So what I mean by that is every week we've gone back to the issue of the day, whether it's pornography, same-sex marriage, and today immigration. Everything is about imago Dei, somebody that's made in the image of God, worthy of being treated with dignity, honor, and value. So while I was driving around yesterday, I thought of imago gratian. So I want you to say that with me, imago gratian. It's a silly word, but I promise you, you will remember it. so that when anger rises up, here are two reasons, it just came to me, why we do what we do that's not good sometimes. Anger and fear. We're afraid and we're ticked off. And those are terrible places to operate out of. And so again, watch more scripture than Fox or CNN. Let God's word transform your mind. See people the way God sees them. And it's a game changer. And then lastly is partner with our friends at Project 658. Dustin Swinehart is the executive director there. He is an awesome guy. They have a fantastic ministry to internationals, to immigrants, to refugees, just minutes from here. David reminded me after the last service that some of those that we were praying for today are going there in their project this week. But if you want to, I don't even know how to find a refugee or an immigrant to be a friend with, and go to Project 658 because they're there every day. They're learning job skills. They're being fed. They're getting clothed. They're being equipped, what it looks like to be an American citizen. The gospel drives everything that they do there. That is just, I can't think of a better way for you to get involved than Project 658 and to connect in that way. But the bottom line is, will I be willing to do that? Will I take my next step? Because this is what immigration should look like. This is a naturalization service somewhere in the United States where people applied, they waited a long time, and after they were sworn in, they erupted into, yes, I'm an American citizen. They are pumped up about it. About 10 of us on the team went about a year ago to see Justin Taylor's swearing in. Some of you who are new don't know, Justin was on our team. He's now over at New City, still in partnership with us, and he's from South Africa. And he's waited years to become a citizen. And so we went, and they call everybody out by nation, and they stand up, Ecuador, Romania, Belgium, and he stood up. We're like, he's South African, but he's American. So we grab him, we're like, dude, you stood up at the wrong country. He goes, no, my mom is Belgium and my dad's South African and now I'm American. I'm like, awesome. The world's most interesting man, right? That's Justin Taylor. Plus, he just sounds amazing. So that's what it can look like when it's done the right way. So let's be a part of the solution. And let's uphold our laws. Yes, and let the government do all those things. But let's be the church. Let's be the people of God that have a big heart for Imago Gratian. Amen. So I want to open our altars now and invite you to pray with me if you'd like to join me in prayer for anything. Especially this. For some of you, it might be, I need to take a step here. I'm on one, I'm on two, I'm on three, I'm on zero. I'm killing all four, I'm good. Where are you? Let's just open our hands and pray. And if you do that, that means you want one of our counselors to pray with you. And if you don't, that means you're good to pray alone. But I invite you to come join me now as we pray. Father, we open our altars. We open our hearts to you. And we pray that you would be glorified and made much of in this time. We pray that you would hear our hearts. As a church, we cry out to you. Be glorified in this place and in this nation. Would you let us be Jesus with skin on to those who are here seeking a new life in Christ's good name.